Mr. Waller-Reel at 12. We were talking on the last day, we were talking about the parade at the cemetery to, in effect, say farewell to the people that you'd lost.
That's right.
What happened to you after that?
I think we got straight on the boat the next day.
Had there been any major Commonwealth Division parade, a victory parade, anything of that nature?
Well, possibly we would have, because we had a very good bugle section. And wherever there was, if they changed the brigadiers, the time was up and a new one came in my own, they wanted the bugles of the Mighty Brigade, they were always in demand. And I don't think the Americans had said anything like that. They hadn't said anything in respect of the marching that we used to do.
This was the fast light infantry pace.
The light infantry pace, yes. They were really, even the Canadian, the Princess Patricia riding, I don't think they marched as fast as what we used to do. It was really impressive, the march. And the bugles were very, very good. They had a good bugle major and they were really on top of the job when it came to blowing all the different calls. They were always good to see. You always felt proud of them when you saw them lads. You know, you could be in the ranks when they marched on and did their little bit. It was, you felt proud to be doing that with their lads. Well, yeah, I used to enjoy all these periods. Like.
How much time had you left of your national service by the end of the war?
Well, I went in as national service and I signed on for another year. So I'd gone into the army in December of 51 and we came out of Korea in September of 53. So I would have well over a year, 15 months to go.
Oh, we can go forward with that. You were then, obviously, you left for home, presumably.
No, Egypt. Well, we were all destined for Egypt. We knew that before we came down from the rest place where we'd been in Italy a few weeks, where we were going into Egypt because we still having troubles there, I think. So we were going to Egypt. We knew that. The people who would travel up, they knew we'd be going straight on home. But we got on the boat, the Royal Warwickshire Regiment relieved us in Korea. And it can't have been a long time after they relieved us that we went to Busan to do the parade and got on the boat, because it was the same boat that brought them. And the chief engineer, after, I remember, right, there was a chap called Brown from Sunderland, and he got with all the sergeant's mess lads, and he said, please, I've got some Durhams among us, he said, because we've come out from England, all the way from England to here, and we still have some of the beer ration left. He said, they just didn't drink it all. And going back, we had to refuel at Hong Kong with beer and Singapore, as I understand it. We just drank the ship dry without orange juice and nice water. We really made the pigs of the search in a sense, right? Get it down, you know, we hadn't had the chance, you know, in the bottle of night. If you're allowed that, which I think we were allowed a bottle a night. And they really went to town and had a good time. I remember on the boat, coming to Egypt, they had a great, they were playing drag for, you know, you never seen so much money, maybe £60-70 on the card table there. And somebody was playing the piano, but he had a real, you know, he took any little duties, maybe he had a, you know, fatigue or something like that. There was no training, I don't know, it was all relaxed to get into Egypt, you know, you really were.
Was it a comfortable trip?
Yes, of course, oh, it was better than when we came out on, yes, and it was a comfortable journey back. There was no storms or anything like that. We had a one coming through the Arabian Sea when we came out, but going back, it was beautiful. The weather was kind, and then we came back up the canal. And everybody saying that your knees were wrong, well, our knees were wrong because we'd been in a hotter place than what they were. It was really nice. And I really enjoyed the trip back.
What was your first impressions of Egypt?
Oh, it was terrible. We got up at Port Said and we got on a train there and we had to come back over down to the Bitter Lakes. We were at just outside Fayed, a place called Fanar, about 2 miles from Fayed. And we run the railway track runs parallel to the Sweetwater Canal, and it looked terrible. You know, dry, dusty, and it didn't look very clean at all. They put us in a guards brigade, which was a mistake for a start. And
in what ways was it a mistake?
Well, because they thought everybody think, all the guards think that the Lord, you see. But I mean, we'd come out of Korea and we were the Lord, we'd been in action, and nobody was going to tell us what to do. And the man came to us in, he didn't take us off the ship, but the man came out from England, and he was in Egypt with the battalion. And they had a very good dance band, which was always in demand. And on a Friday night, he used to have dances at different places, Royal Engineer camps, artillery camps, transport places, whoever it was, medical corps. And you would here have the canal radio, the radio canal zone. There's a dance at the such and such a company on Friday night. All ranks cordially invited. That used to start the message till the Durhams had gone, and you would say, well, you know, you Durhams were this, that, you know, you say, well, you started them fighting, and you would fight anybody, the Durhams. And in the end, it just said, well, there's a dance at such and such a company. All ranks cordially invited except men of the Durham identity. So we were barred. We took our dance band. But we were there, we couldn't end fight. We would fight everybody. The paratroops were the airborne relief. And there were the King of Dixie, could jump out of the sky. But he hadn't been in China, Korea, fighting no Chinese, and we sure never were the King of Dixie. And we had fracas on peace. We had not so much about 56 days because we'd, you know, really made a mess of the land. But you know what it is. You have it all over, you just have it in all bison towns have trouble between different regiments. They all think he's top of the hill. And one really amusing place, and one incident really, there was a, I don't know how you say it, a rat camp, or a rat camp, was the Women's Royal Army Corps, in fire. And different units used to have to put a guard on it for a month. And I think our guard left in about 10 days because they were even striking the women. So they were chased on that as well. Whenever they are, they're always in trouble. So often. But I enjoyed my time.
What were you doing there? Why were you there?
Well, to tell the truth, I don't know. I did guard duties on a lot of things. I mean, if you went out, I don't know, did you take your weapons with you? There was a lot of friction going on. We'd had a lot of trouble, I think, earlier in 52, maybe 50, 51 and 52, where there'd been cause of bother, sabotage. When we did the Lakeside Patrol, the married quarters were down round about by the Bitter Lakes, and we used to do what they called the Lakeside Patrol, where it was a radio operator, the Jeep, and two armed men with them, who was forwarded to the Jeep. And you were on, like 4 hours on and 4 hours off, and you were there for a week. And you patrolled with this jeep around it, and the Egyptians were like, I don't know what it was, tourist type things, but they would be there and they would be knocking the back doors over, harassing the married quarters. If the husband was there, the women and the children would get harassed. There was guards there all the time to keep an eye on him, but still we managed to, I don't remember if they used any engineers or anything like that too, but the doors were damaged and they were broken and all the damage had been done of one sort or another. But we looked to enjoy that, and we caught some hashish. Next to where the camp was at the Great Bitter Lakes with a yachting club, and there was a rowing boat going across the Bitter Lakes one night, and the patrol had been going round there, and the corporal said, halt, you know, and he started firing at him, and so he returned the fire, but he got away, and he thought, well, why did he fire one? And he shouted the halt, so we better look through this rotting club. And there was a boat that was under construction, and there was a sheet over it, and he pulled the sheet off, and it's full of biscuit tins of either opium or hashish or whatever it was. And there was a mention on the back page of the London Times that Ben of the Durham Identity had intercepted this big load of hashish, and the value was so and so. I have photographs of the police coming from Cairo and taking it all away. But that was just another interesting little episode. Apart from that, you had swimming at the Lido. We had football regularly. You might know the different units down the place and play football. And the Battalion had a good football team. They were always playing. They played every week. The cricket team was a good cricket team. But the sport was back to what it was with the hockey and the rugby and whatever else they did sporting. I wouldn't think they played polo out there. Not a time. We never had any horses on the camp, but I can remember. But it was more happier times.
Was it very regimental, bullying and stuff?
Oh yes, it was very regimental. But I got myself into the stores there, so I didn't do anything like that. So it just was a matter of taking the place tidy. And when they did the exercises, you always showed them with the necessary equipment they wanted. We still did an exercise at all. Well, we all had to go out and do the exercise, you know, got radio operator in a gym, and that was it. Maybe it's 2 of you, and you'll be giving your map and say, right, well, where you go out, you want to go 15 miles this way, then stop and set your area up, and then, you know, maybe 4 or 5 gyms would go out with 10 operators, and you would just have a bit of practice, that's about what you're amounted to. And then I got the stores job, and I'm very happy as a can be. I enjoyed it.
Did you get into any of the cities in Egypt?
No, I had a week, had 2 weeks leave in Cyprus. And I also had a leave home, I had to pay for myself. And came home in October till about the end of November. After career, it was £66 it cost me to fly from Fayed to Stansted. And we stayed in Good Street. I don't know if you've ever been to Good Street in Tottenham Court Road in London, but it's underneath the underground, it's right away down. And we just, that was like the transit place, I stayed there, and it wasn't too far from King's Cross. I came home, had 6 weeks later, went back to Good Street, and we flew from Blackbush Airdrome, which is a bit further south.
How were you received at home after being away, and of course coming from a fighting war zone?
Very well, I went to work straight away, out on the new ground, every day. Didn't make any difference to me, but there was no, I might have had the afternoon off, but I had to go out and get out in the morning just the same. No, I think I got the morning off, and I thought we were going about 6:30 on the Saturday morning, and he was just starting off, you know, and I thought I'll catch up with you. I've had something to read. But, oh, I'm going to look around every morning after that.
You're a bit of a hero in the local, amongst the local population?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody knew what was going on out there, really. The articles in the paper mentioned the little bits of it, and they would have kept all the papers, and they were up here, and all they were little bits of paper which I put into town roads. There wasn't a great deal. And it's still the same today, there's nobody takes any notice of Korea. They would have done if one of your family who was still out there might have made a difference, but no, I don't think so.
So you returned back to the unit, and what did you do then?
When I went after my leave, we just went back into the stores, in the signal stores, and I was a storeman there till we retired, but I did a year in the signal stores, and then I came back to Bransworth and was demobbed from there in the end of October.
And in those days, National Service, you didn't get civilian suits when you
were... I know one of the lads who got the civilian suit, but I didn't want the one. It was an awful blue colour, and we have debates about this. And I remember seeing one lad in Bransford, and he had his black shirt and his blue suit and a little curly hat, and I thought, well, I don't want anything like that at all.
I was surprised. I didn't realise that the civilian suits were being issued at that late period.
Well, I didn't know, but they had to go down to... I'll say walking, or Walkingham, or somewhere in that area, was where you had to go for yourself. But you had to go yourself and get it, you demobbed out. But I wasn't interested in it, I just wanted to be out then.
Had you accumulated money for the...
Well, a little bit, yes. We had what we paid you, but not a great deal.
There was no grant at the end of your service?
Yes, there was. I think I mentioned before, you were in the first 3 months you spent in Korea, you qualified you for £12, and then you got £1 a month for every month you're there, you were after that. So I came out with £21 for being there. And that was all. But I can't remember when I got it, whether I was demobbed or not, or whether it was very, very into the credits, as you call it. But I wouldn't come out with a lot of money if I came out with maybe £30 or £40, because there was nothing to spend the money on, really. You did spend your money, you never got fed enough in Egypt. You went to the canteen on the night, and what you got, and then you came out, you went to the original Egyptian place there, and you would have double egg, double chips, double beans, double bread, double orange juice. I can always remember that, because there was all secure when you came out there, from your own canteen, and you had your tea about 5 o'clock, and there, 7 o'clock when they opened, there was a queue.
Excuse me.
But no, Egypt was all right. It was different because you had the carpentry as well, and you had the tailors that did the dressing deal alterations. You had the Adobe paint that did the washing and starched everything. You could get a silk made on the camp, you get shoes made. You know, you went up there and said, I want a pair of shoes, right? Oh, all the was made, you know. Come back in 2 or 3 days, you know, and the price was so and so. And that would be that.
Were you looking forward to leaving the army?
Yes, I was. I suppose Egypt was a bit boring because he got a bit too much. And he wasn't, you know, every night he had to have his Sunday and get his salt tablet as well. I don't think there'd be more Egyptians out there. The Egyptians are finished with. But apart from the sport on the afternoon, you know, it was writing letters, listening to the radio. And then maybe you would turn for that. Oh, fire pickling. I just have to go fire picking. Because I was in the stores. We didn't need stores after it was night time. And there was two of us. There was a Corporal Gregory. He was in there as well. He was in charge of the stores for a short time. And then we just have to go fire picking on the night. So you never got away free of everything. You still had something to do. And I did have to go down a town to where they were very, very good thieves, the Egyptians. You could be, we used to have a fence, and it used to be the coiled wire with grenades hung on them. And there used to be two men walking this way. I told them we had rifles, I think we had pick shafts. And there would be a man with a dog walking the other way. And he would still get through and take his stuff out of you. They had like a concrete plinth with a size of a tent on it, about 6 to a tent. And you could have your BD behind the bed. And you would take your BD or take your shoulder off. They were very, very good. They were very good. But say we used to have all these precautions. I don't know if they were mine, but there were grenades on the wire. And well, they might be there fighting them, you said, I don't know. But then you had two men walking this way and a man with a dog coming the other way, and he still got it in and pinched up. Oh, it was obviously, what's not gone now? But you were all together, you see, so you could, on a night, you could walk down to the company lines of another company and see, you know, somebody that you'd met or just come out because they were changing over very, very regular. I mean, I had a 21st birthday party there, and I think there would be about 15 from the Bishop Auckland area that came to the.
You'd have still a it was national service.
Oh, still national service for those people.
Was Geoffrey still in command in Egypt?
You know, he left there. I think he took us to Egypt, and he might have been there for a short space of time, and then Crackers Mayor, Colonel Mayor came out. Crackers Mayor, everyone called him Crackers, I don't know why, he might have been. But he came out, and he was the CEO then. And we all saw, had an occasional visit to Tarato from Brigadier Hamner, who had been the battalion CEO when I was in Berlin with them.
So, looking back on it, what were the highlights of your national service?
Being away from West Auckland. Being with other people from. I mean, I'd mixed with people ever since I was small, being on the new ground. You'd meet people who came for holidays from other parts of the country who used to take the banter out, you know, take the mick out of you and really talk to you as well. And, you know, I enjoyed that sort of thing. And I enjoyed being with other people and talking. I'd never been away from West Auckland, so this was exciting. I was fortunate in that I had a driving license before I went into the army, which gave me the opportunity to get a vehicle, to get a boat again, which I did when I went to Berlin, and you know, they said, "Don't need driving license, and you're only the sailors, and you've got the choice of a motorbike, a railroad carrier, or a scout car." And I said, "Well, I'll have the scout car." And I had that for a period while we were there. And then when we came to Bellevue, I had a jeep there to drive the signal ops around, and we were all around this area when we planned the march. I had the jeep in Korea, we could take it on it and go to the divisional workshops, I had to drive it, and but I have lots of friends from these days, both Egypt and Korea and Berlin. And because I'm interested in it, I can keep it going. This many other people living up here and driving with other people up from different parts of the country, and we go and visit with them.
So you didn't look upon national service as a waste of time or a break in your life?
No, I think the national service was it's a basic essential for everybody. There should be national service in some form for everybody. The discipline was, I enjoyed the discipline. I enjoyed the camaraderie of the people you were with, and this is what sets the Korean veterans apart from a lot of other people that were in national service, because we've got this rapport that's special to the people who were in Korea, whether we were in the beginning or whether we were in the end. But I find that is special, apart from anybody who went and did national service and was in Germany or they was in the Far East or the Middle East, you know, and these other postings. That the Korean campaign does have this little special rapport, which I enjoy, and I'm very proud to be part of it.
There was a campaign medal, I think, issued. You have that?
Yes, we have the campaign medal. And you also get the peace medal if you go back to Korea. It's presented by the number one of the Korean, the Republic of Korean Army, their association, really. It's got peace medal on it, but it's got war veteran on it. Oh, they call it the peace medal, but it's got war veteran written on it.
And you have this as well, of course?
I have this, yes. You get all these people and get them if you go back to Korea. Unless you've been badly wounded and you're not able to make the revisit to Korea, and then the Grand Secretary puts an application in, and they have a presentation here. I've been to one or two presentations where people with two badly wounded couldn't go back. And we've had one or two old programs. And they had a presentation made, and some big chairman or one or two high up officials have come along and done a presentation for you.
Then you'd return to your usual job.
Oh, that's right, yes, back on the small morning and delivering the milk. And all the rest of it would go with you. But I enjoyed the army life. If I hadn't been obligated, I would have wanted to see you. We still like playing soldiers now when we go to these parades and these socials. I love them.